Mr. Schutt, rail 6. You're on the train going up to the platform.
That's right. Well, when we got there, it was still daylight. No, I can't remember the name of the regiment we were leaving. I thought it's about it, I think, but I haven't got it. I forgot that. And we had to wait till dusk before we could come from the train up to the front line. Let's see now, where we went from there. At dusk, we're all at our orders. We're going up there now, and you must shuffle your feet. That was a stress. No, in marching, and I don't know, probably in the distance, you know, somebody might be listening, I suppose. So anyway, we marched up. And as we got there, everything was whispering, and, you know, the chaps was on the way out, and they were telling us, we talked to them slowly, you know, and quiet, and we were asking questions, and they were saying, well, you know, he's just over there. Well, I said, the enemy, yes, he says, he's over there. And he says, you'll find out when you get settled in, you'll set 2 or 3 shells over every day. If he sets 3 off, he says, you bet your life, that's his number. He's finished for the day, 3 or 4. And we got settled in the best we can. We finished up in little dugouts. It was like a bit of a river running down. Or a tributary, you know, it wouldn't be a river. And it's banks like that, and I noticed they were dug in. And of course, there was different posts as they come out, and we were put in the same. Anyway, all worked out, changed over. We had a swap, and they were coming out. So we got settled in there, and the next morning, we'd be able to look around a bit, you know, things was quiet. That day, shells come over, just as they said. You never know when they're coming, but they left 2 or 3. It's just to let us know that he's keeping an eye on us, more or less. That's what it sounded like to me. And that passed off.
What was the ground like that you found yourself on when the light daylight came?
The ground?
What kind of terrain were you in?
Well, it was...
Was it hills or valleys or...
Well, where we were, it was a small copse, you know, and that. And it was up a little bit banky, and where the bank was, if he was firing his shells this way, we were in this, near this gutter, or river, where it was.
Was he higher up than you?
Okay, well, I don't know whether he was higher up or not, but he was on the right side. Me, you know. But that's where we were. I was telling you now, we were picked out for this night off. It was our job, the officer. There was about 4 or 5 of us picked with him to go on this night off. But we were going in a direction. The shells was coming on out this way, and we had to go straight up, down, and at the bottom there was a river. It was about as broad as this. Well, you know, it wasn't a big river, but anyway, there's a wooden bridge over. It would be about Vietnam for a mile from where we were. So we had to go down there, over the river, and on. What they wanted to know was he on that side? To find out, to see if he was stationed there anywhere. Anyway, we picked out. Those things started. We had to set off. Dusk, dark, practically. There was the officer, Dorian, and me, and about 4 or 5 of us. We just had our rifles, and off we went to find out, to see if he was in that angle up there. So off we went. We went to speak to a loud as normal, just whispering, you know, because it was dark. It wasn't really dark, we knew where we were going. And off we went. I will cross this wooden bridge after about 3/4 of a mile or a mile over the river to in front of us. And that was the north, as far as I know. And on we went. Just not much to say, just slouching on, you know. Then we came to the Harab Hut. And it's a funny thing, when we got up to this hut, there's a little bell rung. I often wonder what that bell was. It's just something like, it's just, this is it. It's just like this. Inside this hut. See, we're in there, of course. Obviously, it says, well, could be anything. It might be a ritual or something, you know, another thing going on. But that bell rung, you know. They knew we'd pass there. Anyway, we went further on, now we came to a building. This building was built of brick or stone, it wasn't a hut. And we could hear voices behind this building. They were jabbering on, you know. Of course, we didn't know what they were. The officer was a little bit concerned, doing. We walked up, you know, we listened to them chattering away and blabbering on, you know, for them. We didn't know what those Germans or what they were. He says, I'd love to challenge them. And so, just, you know, that was his idea. And he challenged them. You know, almost there. Of course, before that, he told us to put a one of the spout in the rifles, you know, just in a case. And well, as soon as he challenged them, one of the fellas flew out. Ah, Parlez-vous français. Boy, was that not, you know, no Frenchmen, what they call these free Frenchmen. About half a dozen of them, chatting away. Well, they were glad to see us. We weren't glad to see them. And of course, Dorian, he must have spoke a little bit of French anyway. He got to know all about it. He let them know what they wanted. All they could say, no, well, back, over, you know, that's all he got. The message was, he's not there, it's further back. He's there, but he's, you know, long way. Well, that's what he came out to see, if there was anybody there. Of course, he was satisfied with that door. He said, there's no point in going further on. I said, well, what's the message? He trusted them. So we came back home. And of course, he reported. Then the next morning, it was bid that the battalion would go in. I don't know if it was the same day or the next morning, because things seemed to be all clear. It was only our company, as far as I know. I don't think the battalion was there. It was just our company that went in.
Which company was this?
B.
And were you no longer a batman?
Oh, yes, I was still
with them. Batman.
Oh, I was still with them, yes. I was always with them, in a, you know. Like, it's supposed to be Batman's job, that, you know.
But to stay with the officer?
Stay with the officer, and you're supposed to be his second-hand guard, you know, more or less. And
Can we just talk briefly about the patrol before we move on? Had you been told what was expected of you before you left on the patrol?
Oh, no, you know, not really. There was three platoons of us. That was our company. And Dorian, the officer, said to me, he says, we've got to go last over that bridge because we've been out overnight. So that was okay. We went and marched up, walked down, we all got over the bridge, extended a little bit, and went on. Well, we hadn't gotten very far before he opened out. I've never known anything like it. It was all shrubs, that land. You might catch a bit of rock, but the shrubs were about a metre high, you know. And the bullets was coming right and left. There was no... The cobblestones were stopping at my feet. You might not believe it, but a bullet whizzed past, you know. Well, all you had to do was to get down. It wasn't long before the plane came. machine gun. I had to drop out in the mud. It was muddy, like a car track. And that plane came over. He used to come over at the base and spatter. And he came over, and I was even machine gunned. He splattered. It was a terrifying day of that, I tell you. But anyway, he went, never saw him no more. But the bullets were still flying. As soon as the fuel got up, you were an open target. You couldn't say a thing. No way. It's a pity we couldn't, I'll tell you. Well, the only thing we could do is drop back into this river. I don't know where the others were. They would just run for cover, I suppose, when the bullets was flying. Because you couldn't say where they were coming from. They were coming from left and front all over. I slid down into this river, because it was the only cover I had. I slid down. I didn't know how far I was going to go down, because I didn't know the river. But it went up there.
To chest.
I grabbed the roots of the bushes that were shooting up the side, and I hung onto that. Well, I was there, and the bullets were still flying. And it ceased a bit. And they were flying over me. And later on, I grabbed a few cobblestones up the side. I picked these cobblestones up the side, grabbed what I could, clear as anything, and flung it up into the middle of the pond, into the clear. And of course that rippled, and as soon as that rippled, they were on me. Yet that six lines on that part, all along that river. So, well, I couldn't go now, I just had to wait. You know, it's a good job as the weather was in, at that time of the year, so I would have frosted to death standing there. Anyway, I had to wait there till it got dusk. Things seemed quiet. I threw more stuff into the river to see, if it was still there. They might have. But I doubted because it was getting dusk. It was quiet. So that's when I slithered out. And I slid. I don't know, the bridge was higher up. Because I'd come, when I got over the bridge, I turned right. Anyway, I slithered across, and I got out, wringing wet and mud, and off I went. I knew my direction to the base, and off I went. I stood the way, very muddy, we had a lot of rain that time, and I was walking along. I just could see the very dim light. There was no lights on. I mean, all lights had to be bad then. Anyway, I knew my way, what's that? Knew I could run the truck, where the bridge was. I followed that. I come across a little donkey, poor devil. His legs were 4 feet up to the chest in the mud, with his head between his front legs. Couldn't know how to about him. I felt sorry for him, for I was in bad state and all. And I trudged on and on and on. Eventually, I came to the base. And I rolled in there. And it was a building. I went into this building. I'd never been in before, for all was the base. But we were all there, the whole company, more or less. They were just shattering, like candles burning, that's all there. I was absolutely buggered. I climbed in there, and no patience with none of them. They were just telling all the, bustling about. I just dropped onto the cement floor, and I was out. I slept, wet clothes, everything. Clear, I just slept. The following morning, we got gathered together, and of course, the quartermaster sergeant was out with his wagon with all the equipment on. And then they were dishing the clothes out, no place to give them much to us, them lads, because probably that was their job, wasn't it? I could get anything. There was no, such as socks and that, they'll give you 3 or 4 pair if you wanted them. Clean socks, outfit, everything, boots, a new rig out, more or less. All. So we got back into normal to where we were. So, well, I'd say no, that this, that was that day we got fitted up and everything.
Tell me before we move forward again.
I can't.
Were you the only one in the river that had pulled back to the river?
Oh, they probably were all pulled back to the river. That's
you know when you came back and hid in the river?
Yes, yes.
Were you the only one there?
I was the only one by myself, but they weren't be there.
Had you lost any men in the initial attack?
One or two casualties.
Not too bad?
No, not too bad. I heard about them. There's one lad there, one of my young girls. He had a bullet in his eye and out the back of his head. But there was only about two or three. There was an officer. He belonged to Sunderland. He couldn't take it. He was really upset. I kind of blame him. That's the only natural thing. He's only human.
Do you remember his name?
I don't remember his name. He belonged to Sunderland. I don't know whether he belonged to our company or not. Our battalion.
This was the first time that you'd had anyone firing at you with intent.
Oh yes, so this is the first.
What were your personal feelings as you went into action?
Well, I thought, boy, there's nobody there. We're told there's nobody there. We thought, it was a straight walk up. No, didn't expect them to be there at all. We must have gotten the wrong information, or he came up through the night, but he was set in wherever he was. We couldn't see him, never saw one. If you stood up, you just the bullets was coming, but you couldn't see anybody. He was down, he was fixed. It's much easier to defend than to attack, believe me. And he had all the advantages, even on that first do.
You must have been quite worried about getting out as you stood in that water all that
long
time.
Oh, why, of course. Of course, it's a queer feeling, but you just had to get on with it. And the only way back, that was one thing. That's the only place I could go. I wasn't going to go up the front.
Was this the attack when the commanding officers of the companies and the battalions had gone off somewhere?
No, this is the first do. After we got fit up and sorted on that day, it must have been where that came. We were all lined up. And he was up and down the line, talking. And we're going in there tomorrow. And he says, you'll have the artillery behind you. You'll have, nothing really to worry about. The artillery, they'll be lobbing in front of you, and just to follow the shells, advance at the overlying shells of our own artillery. That was anybody what feels like falling out, now's the time. They can't take it. Well, there's nobody going to fall out. Lord wants. Probably would all like to fall out at the time, which is only natural. Because we know what we're in for. So anyway, that was set.
Is this when you said in an early tape, he said to you, I want casualties? Was this the occasion?
Well, that was at the time. But whether he wanted casualties on their side or our side, I couldn't say which. He probably meant their side. Surely he didn't mean on our side. And that's what he said. But I wouldn't like to think I was saying something I hadn't to say on either. But that's what he said to me, to what I thought. So that was all set for the next morning. We would go in at dawn. Of course, that was left to the officers what to tell us and explain what was going off,
And this, they came and told you?
This was very confidential, And
what's it? Can you sleep knowing that you're going into action the next morning?
Well, I couldn't say whether I slept or not.
It must have been pretty tense.
But next morning, we were up at dawn in the dark, and we had our meal. I couldn't say whether it was porridge or rice we got. And there was a touch of rum. Very little, mind, but I said to the lad, I said, there's a little bit of the strong stuff in here. He says, I haven't tasted it, but there wasn't much here. That's what I got the idea of. Anyway, that man came, well, I bet I couldn't be sure that's a good way around here.
No, please, you know, give us it all by all means.
Well, we were going in the next morning, that's what the rules were, you know. We knew where we were going the next morning. But anyway, the next morning, we were up very early, as I said, and you got a bit of a meal, as I told you, so that. And we must have set out, we must have crossed that river in the dark and lined up. Watches, I was with the officer, the sergeant, and them was all in the room. Sergeant Major, the whole lot. But there was other battalions there and all. This is when they brought the others up. That's when he said, you know, we've got a chance. So, the watches were synchronized. And of course, Dorian says, now he says, we're laying the first shot from the artillery. That's the sign to move forward. And now we're stunned, static, silent, not a word. Just waiting at that. And like watching the watches, you know. And off goes the gun, one shot. And then Dorian, obviously, it's right. That's the signal. March forward. Well, they didn't know whether the pick would be in us or not. Whether we did or not, I don't know. If you stuck your bayonet on, you know, the weight, you've got only the small packs on, personally. Right, the first shot went as an advance, steady. I think we put our bayonets, I'm not sure. We walked slowly on, all was quiet, the shells was dropping. It was great, you know, everything was quiet as the shells. Well, I soon whipped the bayonet off. It was everywhere, plunging through that, you know.
It was pretty
muddy,
was it?
Oh, it was muddy. And it was rough. I thought, why, I'm not going to need that the way we were last night, you know. I wouldn't have to think I was standing there, but to tell the truth. It was useless anyway. It was put a weight on. And we went on. Then all of a sudden, we got further afield. It was hell let loose. I've never known how like it. It was terrible. Bullets was flying and the shells was dropping, and some of these shells were dropping short. We heard later on that there's some defective shells among these, you know, no dropping short, they were dropping among our own lot as we were advancing.
This is from your own artillery?
Yeah. The sergeant major and all them was killed. We weren't getting very far. And you couldn't say a bat. You got up, you were a hoping target. Couldn't say a bat. Couldn't see any of them. You didn't know where they were coming from. They were set in there. So on we went, and it was getting worse. They were lobbing. As soon as they were fizzing over the top, we used to run, you know, a bit far behind and down again. Well, as soon as you got up, you were a hoping target for a rifle. You were above the bushes, down. We advanced. And the shells were still dropping, and I could hear this young lad here shouting for his mother, mother, mother. It was terrible, you know, he'd been hit. I come across him as we advanced next time. I walked over the top on him, he was out. He's the only young lad, he's on that photograph. And, well, that was a terrible time, that was hell let loose. We're still advancing as the shells were. You know, they're drumming, but the shells were still, the rifle fire from your end was still flying about. Couldn't say a blooming thing, couldn't say them when you got up, you couldn't say a bat. But it was useless. On our side, anyway. And the shells begin to get a bit weaker. We wanted so many, you know. And then Here's my sergeant, Sergeant Dowell, I call him. He come over from there and he dropped beside me. And he was on a boat. He says, you can't say a bloody thing. If you get up, he says, that you're down. The leaves on the bushes when you're down, was they'll chip the leaves off the top. And that mate of mine, he was a batman with his officer, he was a Scotsman. After the battle was over, he was telling me about it. He says, Larry, he says, well, down. He says, I thought he'd get me water bottle. It was gargling out. So when he turned around, he says it was his skull, the blood was just gargling out like, just sounded like a water drop, you know, gargling out of a water bottle.
This was the skull of someone next to me?
It was his officer.
It was his officer?
Yeah.
Which officer was he battling to, do you remember?
He was battling to the little Scotsman. I don't know his name. He went on leave just before his wife was having a baby or something. Like he had a kiddie or something. A very sad man. Of course, I had all this later on as we got further up. And the shells were still dropping. And then the staircase up. We didn't know. They were behind us. Jerry was behind us. Potential officers with machine guns at the waist. Well, you know, Tommy, the war is over for you. Well, when you look, you know, over there, all those three or four of them, they weren't ordinary, you know, like me. They looked like ape men. Well, if I'd touched that rifle, they lifted up, they would have just shot me down. I know they would. I couldn't blame him. If I'd went like that, he would have shot. He would have put a bullet straight through me. He had, you know, at the hip, machine gun. But I had no chance. I knew him. The sergeant, he was shivering and all, wanting to give us, you know. He couldn't help it. He was wondering what was going to happen. Are they going to blow us or what? You know, we didn't know really what position we were in. But anyway, just then, another young lad, a private, he came down and he took over. Oh, first of all, what we're going to do is I drove my bolt off, I pulled the bolt out and fling it away. Dismantle the guns, no good. And the rounds and all, fling them into the bush out the road, because it's over. I mean, if I find them on there, you know. And this lad, this young lad took us over, the young jam private with Bay Lady. The officers went off.
Dorian was still with you when you were caught?
No, I never saw Dorian. I come across him, but I never saw him then. And, anyway, this young lad left me. The German, I didn't see him anymore. The sergeant was giving him a cigarette. I thought, you know, he seemed as though he was just an ordinary, the same as anybody. So we got up, and I come across this lad along Dartney Pole. Come across him. And oh, he was groaning and moaning, you know. And I had to lift, I had to get hold of him to help him up. And there was two of us. We struggled on with him. And he was bleeding. He was bleeding out the bottom of his trousers, I could see. And we carried him over. And I was keeping, you know, I could see it. We were getting to the front line of the vase, you know, I could see it. Keep saying, well, I says, I will let us, says that, you know, you're going to get help here. He says, I'm the, you know, surgeon, everything is safe here. But he died, carried him up, his trousers slipped off him. And when we looked here, he was patched up, he had a pad on here, and there was a little hole in the inside, and out there was a gash, right through. Come up. The patch, the hole where he went in, here, had a